The Siddur is from the end of the Anshe, from the Anshe Knesset HaGdol, from the Vina. So it was written many generations before the Mishnah. Many generations, probably 25. What?
And there's no Rashi.
There's no Rashi. It's probably written 25 generations before the Mishnah was actually composed in the form that we have. There are Mishnayos that are old, that's true. But the Siddur Rambam tells us composed in between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. And Rabbeinu HaKodesh was the editor of the Mishnah. Okay, that's the editor of the Mishnah, and that's about 6.5 centuries later, 7 centuries later. So the Siddur is a very hard limud. So I wanted to start from the Friday night feast. And then we'll come to the Inyon of the Yoima. The Mogen Ovis on Friday night, which is a Tefillah Keduma, it's quite ancient. It's, we're not going into the Rayas now, but it's rooted in Minigar. It's rooted in Minigar Tzorah Tefillah, not in Minigar. One examines its text. The front of Navo be year of a fachad. That's the format, right? It's my ein sheva. It's a synopsis of the 7 brachas of the Friday night Shmon Esrei. Now, we have in the Chagim, when we have the Birchas Koyanim, so our practice in Chutz La'aretz is we end the Bircha Brocha Ritzeish Oyscha Levadcha B'Yiron Avod. The Gro objected, and the Gro, Minhag Gro, which they call on Eretz Yisrael, is even on those occasions the end Hamach Zir Shkinos L'Tzion. Now, why we chose this Oyscha Levadcha B'Yiron Avod stems from the Minhag of Eretz Yisrael and Tefillah. This was something which remained obscure for a very long time, I think probably till the uncovering of the Cairo Gemiza. We did not have really an accurate rendering, as far as I know, of Minhag Eretz Yisrael and the Tefillah. But Minhag Eretz Yisrael and the Tefillah ended Shoyischa Levadcha B'Yiron Avod. Obviously, it couldn't end Hamachzor Shchinoso L'Tzion, the Beis Hamikdash was standing. So, Hamachzor Shchinoso L'Tzion emerged later was Minhag Bovel. So, apparently, when we do the Birchas Koyanim, and perhaps especially because we only do it upon rare occasions, so it's sort of reminiscent of the Avodah and the Migdash. So we changed the bracha on the Chagim, Shoyischa Levadcha B'Yiron Avod. And that was the Siyum in Minhag Eretz Yisrael. So here we have Mogen Ovos, B'Chayav Eisim, Okel HaKadosh, HaManiach Lama B'Yom Shabbos Kodesh, that's the bracha of the Kedusha Sayyoyim, Yivor Motzol Maniach Lohem, then Lufono Navod B'Yiro V'Fachad V'Noyde Lishmoy, is Haidor. Kela Haidor is also the end of the Birchas Haidor and Adon HaShalom and the Brocha of Shalom Rav. So the text that it used for the Brocha of the Avodah is Lefon of Navod B'Yir of Achad Shoyis Chol Vadcho B'Yir of Navod. So this stems, in fact, it's rooted in Minhag Eretz Yisrael, the Mefarshim tell us. The shaila is, what is the phrase "V'noyde l'shmo b'chol yom tamid me'ein habrochas"? Now, this is often slaughtered. This tefillah, you'll have a chazan "V'noyde l'shmo b'chol yom tamid," and as if me'ein habrochas, as if now it's sort of this is an introduction that is going to give you me'ein habrochas. But if you look from this point and on, you don't have me'ein habrochas. You just have kelo haydois v'moydim. And Adon HaShalom. So this is not an introduction stating Me'ein HaBrochas. So what does this phrase mean altogether? So Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch in his Siddur points to a Gemara in Brochas. The Gemara says the following: Omar Rav Zeiro Rabbi Tamer Rav Chinen Bar Papa My Time in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says in things certain crops that are like grasses is buried mine dishon. So he asked why Rabbi Yehuda had this view. We don't paskin like this view. So the Gemara says, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. What prompted him? Where was he coming from? Omakro, Baruch Hashem Yoim Yoim. Right, so we have a pasuk that we say in the davening. It's the Baruch Hashem Yoim 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 Aslanu. So the shaila is, what does it mean Yoim Yoim? Does it mean each day? Does it mean today I should, you know, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning? That's called, it's Yom Yom. So that would suggest that the Laila, the night time, is not an appropriate time for Eidol. That doesn't, certainly doesn't make sense. And Eloi Mar Lecho, the teachers, Kol Yom V'Yom Tein Lom Ein Berchaisav. Each day we should sing the praises of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, or relate to them Ein Berchaisav, according to the nature of that particular day. That's Ma'ein Berchaisav. Hochanami Kol Minu Min Tein Lom Ein Berchaisav. For each min, Rabbi Yehuda was more specific in the brachos than we are, because for each min we should give a particular praise to HaKadosh Baruch. The Rashi tells us, Kol Yoim V'Yoim, every single day, Tein Lo Ma'en Berchaisav. So Rashi tells us from here is the notion that we have B'Shabbos Ma'en Shabbos. We talk about Shabbos. It's V'Yontav, it's Ma'en Yontav. Each day the tefillah should reflect that day. A brocha of you, etc., should be most specific to reflect that which I'm giving the Hidot to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam about. Now, this is a very fundamental aspect of tefillah. Tefillah, what is tefillah? Tefillah, let's know what it's not first. The Vilna Gaon writes in Mishlei that as much as I'm a spalo for things of Gashmi, as material things, I am not at all assured of success, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam grant me what I want. Elsewhere he writes in matters of Ruchnias that if I'm persistent and I do appropriate Ishtadlus, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will grant me that which I want. And the Cheshbon is simply, Ruchnius, my growth in Ruchnius is definitely good for me. So if I'm a spalel and I really want it, so I did my ishtablis, the Rosh Hashanah helped me, give me the siyat of the Shmaya. The Imam Brochus also says in a pasuk concerning a pasuk that we recite each day, Harchef Picho V'Amaleyo. Open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. And the Shah says, Ahu B'Divrei Torah Ksiv. So when it comes to Torah and to mitzvahs, if we're mevakish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the opportunity. In Gashmias, how do I know what's good for me? How do I know what's good for me? You know, none of us sitting in this room would complain if tomorrow morning Mr. Avanisham sent us a check for $100 million. Wouldn't complain. I don't think any of us would send it back. But does that mean it's good for us? I guess we should assume and hope that if the Rebbeinu Shel Olam sent it, it's probably good for us. But if he doesn't send it, maybe it's better that we don't have it. So that which we should or shouldn't have in Gashmias, we have our perception of what we think is good for us. But that may not be good for us. So therefore, we can be mevakish. And as long as, I guess, we're righteous people, so the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will help us to do what's right. So he won't give us that which is bad for us. So then the question is, so for what do I doubt? And we have all the brachas from Atachayinim through Baruch Aleinu. Right, there are six brachas in Shemoneh Esrei each day, which deal with things of this world. A person should have seichel. Well, tshuva maybe is a little bit of both worlds. Reino v'anyeinu, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam should protect us. V'fa'ayinu, parasa. What's the tefillah for? What's the tachlis of the tefillah? The tachlis of the tefillah is the gift which I want, so somehow I should be assured I'm going to get it, but I'm not. So the tachlis of the tefillah is one goal. David HaMelech described it when he kirvas Elokim li toiv. is to feel the closeness to the Rabbi Hashanah, to realize our dependency on the Rabbi Hashanah. That's the essence of what tefillah is. To such an extent is this the essence of tefillah, that the Chayvus HaLevavus, the Reis of Abba was similar but slightly different, but the Chayvus HaLevavus and the Shaar Bitochen asks a very elementary philosophical question. And that is, how exactly, if I mispalo and the Rebbeinu Shalom answers me, what is that process? By what process does that take place? Now, in this world, I can meet with people and ask people for things, and I can get what I want, but for a lot of different reasons. I can get what I want because the guy on the other side of the desk truly thinks that I'm right, and he ought to give it to me, and I deserve it, and therefore he wants to give it to me. He could give it to me, he really thinks, and he may even be right, that I don't deserve it, and he shouldn't give it to me. But it's not worth having me bother him, and I'll come back again and again and again and again. I'm relentless. So you say, listen, I just want to get rid of this guy. It's worth giving him what he wants, just so I don't have to hear from him. But with the Rabbeinu Shalom, we can't cajole the Rabbeinu Shalom in that fashion. So why exactly does tefillah help? And to put the question more pointed, if I deserve something, so the Rabbeinu Shalom is Tzadik Hashem b'chol ma'asav, v'chayash b'chol drochel, v'chosi b'chol ma'asav. So if I deserve it, the Rabbeinu Shalom will give it to me. So what did I have to daven for? And if I don't deserve it, so what does it help that I davened?
Didn't we see that
Rabbi
Chanina ben Dosa didn't get anything, and he deserved everything?
That's something. There are cheshbonos that the Rabbeinu Shalom has when it comes to things of this world. That the Rabbeinu Shalom for Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's avoid that was the best.
Okay.
But the question is, what does it help that I doubt? If the Rabbeinu Shalom felt I'm supposed to get it, so he'll give it to me. Elamai thinks I'm not supposed to get it, so he won't give it to me. So what changed because I doubted?
You want something, you have to ask for it.
For what reason?
Okay.
So Chayvus HaLevavus says a profound philosophical answer to the question. That tefillah is to focus us on our dependency on the Rebbeinu Shalom. To bring us to a deeper understanding of how dependent we are on the Rebbeinu Shalom. And the more the human being understands his dependence on the Rebbeinu Shalom, that's a deeper level of emunah. The realization that everything in the world has only one address. All the people that helped me, everything that comes my way, these are all emissaries of the Rabbeinu Shalom. But it all comes from him. There is no one else in the world that ultimately could help me. And it only comes because the Rabbeinu Shalom wants me to be helped. That realization raises me to a different level. And therefore, if I've davened appropriately, when I finish the tefillah, I'm at a different level. I'm a different person than when I began the davening. It's a little reminiscent of what should take place, at least in tefillah. The Novi in Yecheskel says that when a person came to the Migdash, he didn't go out again through the same shaar through which he came. And in the Shulchan Aruch we find the halacha, which a minhag, which is derived from that, which we follow in our all the Bati Knesiyas, that if a person gets an aliyah l'Torah, so you go up on one side and you go down on the other side, but you don't go back to where you came. And what the root it is that practice in the Migdash that a person would enter by one shah and leave by a different shah. That's what we find in the Shulchan Aruch. The shaila is, what was this all about? Why did they go out a different door in the Migdash? Why did we go down from the Torah on a different side? And the answer, I believe, is that going to the Migdash is an experience. I must not go to the Migdash, enter the Migdash, and leave the Migdash unmoved. The Migdash has to be a life-altering experience. Even minimally, but it must be a life-altering experience. And the message is, there's no going back. Where I came from is gone. That's history. You can't can't go back where you came from. Where you're going to, you're in a different place. You're at a different level. Your life is different. It's altered.
What is
it? Every day we should have. That's the experience. That's the experience we should have every day. The Meir Migdish is no less every day because who's become. The same is true when a person has an aliyah and he reads and learns the Rebbeinu, reads from the Rebbeinu Shalom's Torah. I can't go back. I should be altered. I'm a different person after the experience. I'm not where I was before. Where I'm going back to is somewhere else than from where I came. I don't remember. I believe the Chofetz Chaim Zatzal wrote this. But it may have been the Gro. I just am confused at the moment. That each time he would get up from learning, he would ask himself the following question: what have I learned today that I can implement in my life? It's just not an intellectual exercise. But what's the Lamaisa?
It's an Igeris Ramban.
The Ramban?
The Igeris Ramban.
Igeris Ramban. Oh, okay. I didn't remember. I saw it recently. I thought it was. Oh, thank you. The experience of learning, you know, I have a new idea in my head. So a new analysis of the world around me. It's to be a little more as Almanas Lasis. I changed. I learned something. I learned a new halacha, a new insight into the halacha, a new taste. Something had to change. Something's different about me. There's no going back to where I was. And that's the nature of tefillah. That a problem with tefillah is that we're in a catch 22. What is the catch 22? If I daven 3 times a year, I could probably daven Shemoneh Esrei pretty well. But the interludes might be devastating. So Elamai, Chazal felt that really it's not even enough to connect once a day with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. We have to have an extreme focus a few times a day. So, in our attempt to do that, on the other hand, we wind up with the problem that the tefillah could be dry and stale. It's not dynamic. Which is really why there are two aspects to tefillah. There's the standard tefillah, and then there's my personal tweaks to the tefillah. The Targum refers to it, and the Brisker Rav expands on it, Rebbe Usi to its Lucy. Shalokachti miyara amori mekharbi u bekashti. Rebbe Usi u its Lucy. One is the fixed nusach that everyone davens, and then is my personal input. And the personal input is very important in tefillah. Throughout the Shemoneh Esrei, it should not be, except really at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, more than little snips, because otherwise we get lost. So all the bakasha should be short. But it's not only that there's room, it's appropriate that in the brachas there should be personal bakashas. Personal meaning relating to my life, relating to the world today, but relating to me and my world. The Noda Yehuda wrote that we would imagine that once they formalize the tefillah, as the Rambam tells us, the Anshei Knesset HaGdol, during the interlude between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, that they manage to include everything that a person has to have in tefillah is included in there. And that really was the challenge. What was the challenge? Why did they have such a hard time making the tefillah? The Rambam said it was written by Anshei Knesset HaGdol on the Nevi'im Beneiim, together with the number of Nevi'im. When they had to make Kilbrocha Balaam Hashinim, they had to find Shmuel HaKohen, they had to find somebody special to make. What was the problem? Before they formalized Shmoneh Esrei, everyone in Klal Yisrael got up and said what he wanted to say, and it was fine. So what happened now? So the Rambam tells us what motivated them was they saw a lack of Kvod Shamayim. What was the lack of Kvod Shamayim? They talked the way we talk nowadays. A Yiddish word, an English word, an Hebrew word, a Polish word, a Russian word, a Persian word, that's, you know. That's the way they talked. They became polyglots. They didn't talk one language, you know. There are people that I know that speak seven different languages, but they speak seven separate languages. But we don't speak that way. So Anshik Nezak Agdoyla decided this is a chisaron. So the Rambam writes in the first paragraph of Hilchos Tevilah, it's a chisaron and kvod shamayim, you know, to speak to the Rabbeinu Shlom in such fashion. So they formalized the tefillah. So what's the problem? Now there's a problem. Kol zman that each person davened what he wanted to daven. So each person davened according to his madriga. According to the Rambam, there's a general format for the tefillah of Shevach, Bakosha, Hido, fine, that's a derisive format. But how you filled in the blanks each person did on his own. Along came Anshe Knesset Agdoyla, and they have a daunting task. They have to write a tefillah that I'm going to daven every day, and Rabbi Akiva is going to daven every day. You know, for me, they didn't have such a hard time. They could have taken anybody to make the tefillah. But the same Shmon Esrei that I have to daven is the same Shmon Esrei Rabbi Akiva has to daven. Now, how do you make a Shmon Esrei that's for Rabbi Akiva? With his asogus, his understanding of the Rabbeinu Shalom, and his amuna, and his Torah. That's a big concern. It's accessible to me, I could daven it, and at Rabbi Akiva's level, it was still appropriate. That you needed Nevi'im B'nei'im and Anshe Knesset Agdoyla. So we have, so the Shai that Anod Behuda has, we find in the Gemara in Brochus that there's a whole roster of tefillahs that the Amoraim added at the end of the tefillah. Right, we have one of them is a Lodilokai Netzor is one of them. Rav is the tefillah that we use for Birchus Rosh Chodesh, it's Rav's tefillah. So why do we have all of these additional tefillahs? Something was lacking in the Anshe Knesset Agdoyla's tefillah? As the world uses the expression, you had to gild the lily. Was that a pshat? So another Behuda writes that this exactly is the point. The tefillah has a fixed nusach. The tefillah is personal. And the personal dimension is extremely important in tefillah. Consequently, each amora was mispalo for the things that he felt most viscerally. And his avodah of the Rabbeinu Shalom, these were the things which resonated most deeply in his soul. And that he had a special tefillah to include those things. Why? Because that's his deepest connection with Shechina that day. You know, good, I was pala for all the things, and obviously at a very high level. But when it hits close to home, that I'm asking and speaking about something which comes from the deepest part of my soul, the depth of my neshama, that's a different tefillah. And therefore, Amoraim had each one their own fixed means and method of how to end the tefillah each day. And the tachnuna was very personal.
But Rav, if it comes at the very end, and it comes after the whole Seder HaTefillah,
yeah,
how can we say that's the most important part and the part that resonates with somebody? If most of the tefillah is based is the order of the
Listen, we have to do the best we can with it. But what's going to resonate most deeply in the human soul are the things that are in my heart. And therefore they made sure. I'm sure they davened with Chazal were it's even hard to relate. From us they were very hard to relate to their notions of kavona. I mean, it was dismissive, or derisive almost, about a person that would daven Shmon Esrei without having kavona. Like, Gemara says in Brochus, like, what do you think you're talking to? Your friends, your buddies? Or you're talking to the Rabbeinu Shalom? It was derisive. Gemara is very, very strong about it, their perspectives. And Af Al Pi Kein, there's a level of tefillah which transcends even that. And that is what most resonates most deeply now. It could be at different times in the tefillah that a person has some standard brachos also resonate very deeply for a person. So that's fine. You can imagine, you know, a person when he, the Vilna Goyin, how he said, Atachoyin and Lodom Das each day. what his notion of das was at his level, and how we realized the trend to see out of the Shmaya that he needed. So to a person that's so devoted, this was the essence of his life. You could be sure that that was rang out very strongly in his tefillah. But there's a big room for the personal dimension in tefillah.
The Rebbe explained how this fits in with the word tefillah. I thought it was like pila, like judge oneself.
Again, but see, I didn't hear to understand the question yet.
The Rebbe saying that the idea of tefillah is really to find a personal connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, there's a liturgy, but you can try it. But I understood that the word tefillah was from like pilaf, to judge oneself, pilaf, to see where I should be holding, where I am holding. Is that connected to this? I don't know.
I'm not even sure I would necessarily translate the word tefillah in that sense. But that's, and there are many lashonos of tefillah. Tefillah is only one of the many lashonos of tefillah. Zaka, 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 and many, many words of tefillah. As in the Mishnah and Brachos, in the beginning of the ninth parak, it says that a person is nichnas lekrach. He has to give noitzin hadala over, right? Zayek, Zayek, or Zayek ala osad. It's the very nature of what tefillah is. Now, my focus on this is for a very simple reason. In the tefillah itself, we have certain changeable parts. Change, different times of the year. So Rashi tells us already, b'chol yom ein b'chayisav, is why we have a Shabbos tefillah, a Yom Tov tefillah, a Rosh Chodesh tefillah. It's b'chol yom ein b'chayisav. Means to connect with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam according to what today is. Not yesterday and not tomorrow, today. Today is Shabbos, today is Pesach, it's Hanukkah. The connection of this particular day. And we have parts of tefillah that change, because they are more relevant at certain times and less relevant at other times. We have a notion of haskar, the maskirim gurus kshon. We have an idea of bakosha, but we change them seasonally. Why? Because there are things in the world around us which change, which are not fixed. And especially like in a climate such as Eretz Yisrael, the seasonal difference is a very significant one. It's a time of year when it rains, and we need it to rain, and we can't survive if it doesn't rain. And there's a time of year when it doesn't rain. And in fact, most of that time, it's even negative if it would rain. So the world, we live in a world around us which is dynamic. And the tefillah is to be in tune with the world around us. The b'chol yom ein b'chayisav.
So much so that it's ma'akir.
So much so that it's ma'akir, yeah. That's the chiddush. And the truth is, we see that in other parts of the tefillah. If I don't mention Yalav Yavu, it's ma'akir. If I daven tefillah chayil and Shabbos, it's ma'akir. Because it's an inyan of b'chol yom ein b'chayisav. And that's the essence that goes to the heart of what tefillah is.
So where can we put our personal touches?
So the Chofetz Chaim writes the following in the Reim Rachreinim, that in each of the brachas along the way you can make short bakoshas which are relevant to that bracha. In Shema Koleinu we can make any bakosha because that's a catch-all bracha, but longer bakoshas should have to be in Tachnura. And I believe the reason for that is because if one's bakoshas become too long, it's disruptive to the cycle of the tefillah itself.
And these are all thoughts, or
you can think them. What did we say? Yula rotzim imrei fi vehegyan libi lefanecha Hashem tzuri v'gayali. Tefillah can be in two ways. this aspect of tefillah, the recitation of Shmon Esrei, as we pass in here, Olavka Dibur, has to be articulated, verbalized. But these type of bakoshes could be in either form. Imrei fi or hegyalibi, either way I want. The Chofetz Chaim Zatzal used to daven regularly. He used to have tremendous bakoshes. All in Shmon Esrei, not in Shmon Esrei, I guess, all about to you. In the Yiddish language, you speak to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Sometimes many times a day.
So even though you're going to say Doa, thought it was disrespectful to daven in different languages, we could insert a bakasha in English.
Listen.
What? In Shmon Esrei, she'd be able to switch to English?
I don't know if I would. Probably if you could do it in Lashon Kodesh, but if you can't, so do it however you can do it.
Exactly at what point did the bracha should one do that?
I would, and all the brachas before the phrase which leads into the to the chsima. In other words, we have in the structure of the brachas. The Gemara in Arvei Pesachim tells us there's a machlekes. And the truth is, the machlekes are very minimal machlekes because most brachas reflect both. The Gemara says that the ending of the bracha should be either me'ein psicha, reflecting the beginning of the bracha, because that I guess that reflects his theme, or me'ein chasima, in other words, the phrase just prior to the closure of the bracha should reflect the beginning of the bracha, should be sort of circled back to the beginning again, or that me'ein chasima samuch lechasima, that it should be similar, tying into the lead in to the bracha that we make afterwards. Now, by and large, if we look at the brachas, with a couple, some notable exceptions, all the brachas are really me'ein chasima samuch lechasima. Now, most of the time, I said it's not a machlokes, because by and large, the psichas and the chasimas are usually pretty similar. You know, in brachas that have more, that have a chasima to them, in most brachas. So we have some notable exceptions. We have the bracha of Yerushalayim Ircha and on Nusach, which is a notable exception to it. There are yeshuvim to it, but why it is that way, or maybe that it does fulfill the standard. But before that phrase, where do we? The one is spelled out in the siddur. Where do we mispalo for chaylim in Rafayim before kikel malach rofei? So on all the brachas before you get to kikel goyel chazakota. So before you get to that phrase, which is the tie into the chesima, so that would really be the best place to do it. So this is a major theme. It's my Yedid, who's a grandson of Rabbi Yoshev, who's a tzal, said it was exhilarating to stand behind him, behind Rabbi Yoshev, as he davened Shmon Esrei. To hear how he articulated the depth of his tefillah of Psach Libi v'Sarasecha, he said, was could blow you away. A person of such godliness and such greatness and Torah, and yet when it was as palo for the Rabbeinu Shalom, Psach Libi B'Sarasecha, Bavakish before the Rabbeinu Shalom to give me insight and understanding, I should understand your Torah. So these are the brachas, this is the Mashal Ruach and the Vesein Tal that we add. Now, because of the fact, there's a whole question, why is it that V'sein talamot l'vrocha can, if I omitted it in Baruch Aleinu, I can insert it in Shema Aleinu. Why is that? So there are different reflections of it. There are different ways to look at it. We have, let's look at Reb Chaim for a moment, and because Reb Chaim Brisk. Chaim Brisk gave us insight into this area. We have with Tosis and Masechta Brachos cites the Rif. What happens if one davened Mincha on Rosh Chodesh and one failed to say Yalav Yolam? Now it comes tomorrow and I say, you know, all of a sudden I realize, hey, Rosh Chodesh was yesterday at Mincha. I totally forgot about it at Mincha. Now what do I do? Do I recite the Tashluma, the second Shmon Esrei, after the Tefillah Marav or not? So we know this is a rather well-known machlokes in the Rishonim. So some say I wasn't Yotze Mincha, so I have to recite the second Shmon Esrei. Some say there's no point. You're not going to recite Yalav Yovav, are you? So I believe Reb Chaim Brisk gave the classic definition of this machlekes. The question is the following. The Shmoneh Esrei that I said without Yalav Yovav, did I fulfill the din of Shmoneh Esrei? What I didn't fulfill is the obligation to sing the praises of the Rabbi Rishon on Rosh Chodesh, because I didn't speak about Rosh Chodesh. But Shmoneh Esrei is intact. It didn't undermine my Shmoneh Esrei. Except I didn't fulfill every chiyuv in Tefillah with this Shmoneh Esrei. I have another chiyuv, and that is to thank the Rabbi Rishon Leilam for what a day, or to speak about the day. So since I didn't do that the first time, I would daven again and do it the second time.
So you didn't.
But now that it's Motzei Rosh Chodesh, and I'm not going to recite Yalav Yovav, so why am I repeating the Tefillah? Tefillah, I was Yotzei. What I wasn't Yotzei was plugging in with the Rabbanu Shel Olam that it's Rosh Chodesh. And I'm still not going to do that because it's not Rosh Chodesh, so why daven again? That's one perspective. There's another perspective that tells us if I left out Yalav Yovav, it's the same as if I skipped the Broch of Tekab B'Shoifa. What happens if I skip the Broch of Tekab B'Shoifa? Skipped it. Come to the end of Shmoneh Esrei, I come to Chazoras Hashat, and I hear the Chazan say Tekab B'Shoifa, and I say, you know, that's the first time today I'm hearing that one. And I realize I skipped it. So I got lost somewhere in my Kabbalah about being mispalo for my Parnos and Baruch Aleinu, and I went to Shiva Shoftenu, the Tekab B'Shoifa I forgot about. So what's the din? I'm not Yotzei Shmoneh Esrei at all. If I missed one of the brachas, it's all over. It's gone. It was the whole Shmoneh Esrei, I didn't make it. It's not that I made the Davin Shmoneh Esrei, but I left that one. No, there's no Shmoneh Esrei. The brachas are all necessary parts. So perhaps when I leave out Yalav Yovav, well, that's the problem. It's I left out the essence of the bracha, of the bracha of Ritzei today. And it's like I skipped Ritzei. I gutted it. So that's what he says in the machlekes. So we get, in other words, in Reb Chaim's terms, is it just the haskor that we have to mention in tefillah the nature of the day, but it's not, does not ma'akiv really the rest of the tefillah. The rest of the tefillah is still a tefillah without that. Or no, it becomes an essential aspect of the tefillah itself. Now we have the same issue. What happens with Besein Broch? What is it? Besein Talumota. Which one is it? If I left it out, is that I destroyed the Broch of Baruch Aleinu? Or, no, I didn't destroy the bracha, although bracha later it was fine. All the brachas are fine, except in Shmoneh Esrei. I do have to be mispalo for Geshem. So since I wasn't, I might even have to daven again. So one of the attempts to bring a raya for this is the fact...
So both are true there. If it's still in Melech Shmoneh Esrei before Shmoneh Tefillah,
you can
destroy it. But if you finish
Shmoneh Esrei, you... Okay, either. Good. So either way. So whatever it was, if I didn't put it in at all, I'm certainly not Yotzei. Something I'm not Yotze. But what wasn't I Yotze? Now we'll see the Nafkamina soon. So someone bring a raya from the fact that it can't be that I trashed the broch of Baruch Aleinu. Right? The Torah does have a notion, as a machlik is the Torah and the Grom. The Torah says if I skipped part of a broch, as long as I did the main parts of the broch and I did the chesima, I'm Yotze. According to the Torah, you have to cheshbon out what's the main part of each bracha and make sure you got that in if you skipped. The gross shita is that b'diyevid yeitzah with just all the chasimus. If we did all the chasimus, certainly in the bakoshas in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, if you did all the, did the chasimus and you skipped everything else, you yeitzah. The chasimus are enough. Okay, there's a machloek is the gross of the Torah in that regard. So, did I trash the bracha altogether by leaving out the same tal? So some say, no, you didn't trash it. All right, you didn't trash it. Because you can put it into the Shmak Aleinu. If I trashed, what happens if I daven? And I skip the Broch of Baruch Aleinu. So can I just say in Shmak Aleinu with Saint Talamot of Broch, and let's go now, and I'm Yotzei Shmoneh Esrei? Escape nisht. So if I trash the Broch by leaving out the Saint Tal, so then how could I put it into Shmak Aleinu? So that would suggest that perhaps it's a Haskorah. It's not really the same, it's not Ma'akiv in the Broch. That's one view. Though there's a Bir Halacha that quotes a Prima Godim that says the reason that I can get away with this is because with Saint Tal, since it's a flexible part of Shmoneh Esrei, it's there sometimes and not there at other times, Chazal didn't make a fixed place for it. So that's the reason. It's not necessarily that it doesn't undermine the whole Shemoneh Esrei in its absence, but it doesn't have a fixed place. So Chazal gave me, since it's not always there, they said, listen, there's an A and there's a B, there's a Lachatchila and there's a B'dieved. You could be Yotzi in both ways.
So if I really had a problem with whatever it is, something was Dochel, I could be Yotzi with Abinino also. I'd at least be Yotzi something.
Well, there's a Shiloh, whatever, I don't want to get off to that right now. That's going to lead us to more complications. Okay? Now, there's a Mogen Avraham. And the Mashmos and the Mogen Avraham, and I discussed this with Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal, there's a Mashmos and a Mogen Avraham, I think it's in Simon Kuf Ches. What happens the following? I come to Shul Friday afternoon. And let's say it's, you know, shortly after December 4th, 5th, whatever, daven Friday afternoon. Friday night, I realize when I get up to Shemoneh Esrei that, you know, I skipped the same Tal by Mincha. What do I do? What do I do? There's a Mashmos in the Mogen Avraham, and Rabbi Yoshua did learn the Mogen Avraham that way too. That it's the Mogen Avraham Shita is that it's no different than Yalav V'yova on Rosh Chodesh, according to the Shittas, that it's an Indian to mention it, but the Tefillah is a Tefillah without that. So, according to the Mogen Avraham, I wouldn't daven Tashlum on Friday night. Don't daven Tashlum. I didn't trash the Shemoneh Esrei, I just failed to daven another Tefillah that I have to daven, which is the Bracha for Gesha. And since I can't daven that Bracha Friday night anyhow, so there's no point in saying it again. Now, I still remember what Yoshua said, he said, if anyone other than the Mogen Avraham would say such a thing, he says, we would dismiss it out of hand. But it's the Mogen Avraham, we don't dismiss the Mogen Avraham. But, you know, the Shaila is what the Raya is. The Raya may be, in fact, one of those, in other words, they didn't agree with the Prima Godim. And Mamela, how about could you put it into one other Bracha? And Mamela, maybe that's the reason why. That he knew. But that's the Mogen Avraham, that's the way Rabbi Yoshua interpreted the Mogen Avraham Shita, and I was similarly inclined. It's a little tricky, the Mogen Avraham, but that's what I thought it meant, and he agreed with me. So we have this type of notion, the notion that we have sometimes something which I should have in Tefillah, but the Tefillah is a Tefillah without it, except I'm missing that element, and I can add that element in another Shemoneh Esrei. But the first Shemoneh Esrei stands. Now this is the way that Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal and the Stipler and Ashir, I think it's in the back of the Masechta Brochas, if I remember right, but the Stipler has Ashir. Now we have the following. This is a question even I think that the Chofetz Chaim struggled with. The Shulchan Aruch says that if I didn't have Kavona on the first Brochon Shemoneh Esrei, I'm not Yotzi. So what happens now to Chofetz Chaim, Zatzal asks, I'm up to Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sorosecha in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. And I realized I didn't have Kavona by Ovos. Now what do I do? Now basically the Ramo says we don't go back for Chesrenus and Kavona. So the Chofetz Chaim says, that's fine if I finish Shemoneh Esrei. You know, the world as, you know, when I was a child, there must be, it's an old European joke, that what happens if you forget Yalav V'yova on Rosh Chodesh? So you daven again. What happens if you forgot the second time? You daven a third time. What happens if you forgot the third time? You don't daven again. Svetta Gornish Tofen. You'll never remember anyhow. You're a lost cause. So that's good. So we could say to Ramo, could say, listen, once I finish Shemoneh Esrei, I'm a lost cause. Who says I'm going to daven any better next time? Just leave it alone. You know. But here the Chofetz Chaim says, I'm in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. So what do I do now? I have a whole 10 more brochas to say in front of me, and if I'm not yaitz, then all the brochas are batalas. So what do I do now? So Rav Moshe Zatzal told one of my chaverim, I asked him, it's fine, just keep davening. And then, you know, and so I the cheshbon is, the stipend spells out the cheshbon. There are two dinner. There's a din of tefillah, and there's a din of tefillah b'kavonah. The din of tefillah yaitza, even if you didn't have kavonah. Chazal was mechayev, the halacha was mechayev that there be tefillah with kavona, with appropriate kavona, at least in Ovos. So that din I didn't fulfill. And that's the reason I might daven again, so I should fill the din of tefillah, fulfill the din of tefillah b'kavon. But tefillah was yaitze. That's the way they learn it. This type of spells it out. They use it on a Rambam, whatever.
So they go a step further that there's a certain kavon you have that's ma'akev above that, with ne'am makom. And so that one, if you blew.
Oh, yeah. That's the way they learn in the Rambam. This type goes into this whole Torah. In other words, this is also, it's in the Chubas HaRajba, I believe. The Chubas HaRajba spells it out someplace. That the Kavona, which is Li'ikuva and Tvila, is the realization that I'm Oymed Lifnei Hashem. As long as I realize that I'm Oymed Lifnei Hashem, no matter what else I did or didn't do, I'm Yoytzer Tvila. Which really goes back to the heart of where we started. Because the essence of Tvila is my interface with Shechina. In other words, it could be at a million different levels. That is
that one, if you remember it in the middle of Shemona Esrei, you can just say El Kam Lifnei Hashem, you know?
I guess usually the fact that we stand up, I think most people, it's a little hard to do that, you know? I guess maybe if we had the tefillah sitting down, we might even be able to do it on autopilot. But the fact that we have to stand up for the Shemona Esrei, that reminds us, we're Oymed Lifnei HaMelech. You know, but this is, this is the introduction of Oysai to the Indian of the same time. Before we get involved in the nuts and bolts of the halacha, is we never put the halacha in context. What is this halacha about? Why do we have it sometimes and we don't have it? What's its importance? What does it do to Shemoneh Esrei if we have it or we don't have it? I decided let's just start today, put the broad conceptual framework into which this tefillah goes into. Let's first paint that before we get involved with the nuts and bolts and the halacha, because this is the part that we usually tend to overlook altogether. Was Yitzhak said the same time, all the necessary details. But the broader perspective of how it fits into tefillah and what it is what we usually don't even think about at all. So that was my tachlis in tonight's shir. Be'ez Hashem. So next week, Mirtz Hashem, there will be a shir number 2. On the same time, maybe we'll get more to the nuts and bolts. And 2 weeks from tonight, I believe there's not going to be a share. That's December 3rd, I believe. I'll have to be in school for PTA. It's usually a Wednesday. This year, they moved it back to Tuesday night. So what can I do?
We didn't expect you to say it tonight.